you may want to start with your comments in relation to the 9 million for mobile phone pouches. But before we talk to Education Minister Norma Foley about that, I'd like to ask you first, please, your reaction to the news of the death of the former deputy leader of Fianna Fáil, one of the most prominent female politicians of recent decades, Mary O'Rourke.
Thanks very much, Matt, and I appreciate the opportunity. We are saddened beyond measure in the Fianna Fáil party, but I think, in fairness, right across the country, I think people are greatly saddened to hear of the passing of Mary O'Rourke. She was a much, much loved political figure. You know, I know she was always affectionately referred to as Mammy, because she was that. She was that to so many of us. She was a great mentor. She was a great leader. She really, I used to say to Mary, you know, that she paved the way. She really showed that there was opportunities for equality, really, for women to become involved in politics. She always fought her ground. She stood her ground.
Oh, she was feisty.
She certainly was. She was a wonderful, wonderful role model. She was so very sharp right up to her later years. She always retained that great interest in politics as well. And, you know, she was available for any community event, any political event. She was a great, great social commentator as well, with a very sharp mind. She was a very generous mentor to so, so many up-and-coming politicians as well. She was just a wonderful, wonderful presence, and she was an assured and reassuring presence, I think, in politics as well, because people knew that when Mary said something would be done, it would be done. So, you know, we will miss her greatly, but I think we have, you know, been so benefited by her wisdom and by her talent and by her ability and capability, and we're certainly the lesser for her passing, but we are greater beyond measure because of all that she gifted to her own community, obviously to her family, but also to Irish society. So my very, very sincere condolences to her family.
Indeed, and I agree with that. I have to say, though, Minister Foley, her sharp political antennae were such, I don't think she'd have made a £9 million payment towards mobile phone pouches for our schools.
I don't underestimate Mary there on that one either, because I understand, you know, when you look at this in isolation, people are saying, what are you doing with this money? But when you drill down and when you take the time to tease it out and see the motivation and the reasoning, and this is the reasoning, all of the studies, whether they're national or international studies, are telling us that mobile phone access in our schools is interrupting teaching and learning. And it's also having a very negative impact on socialisation in our schools. You know, at break times, whether at lunchtime or small break time or sus time, as they would call it, students are sticking their noses and continuing to stick their noses into the phones. UNESCO has told us, for example, from a study that they have done, that the phones should be banned. Students, when they're awaiting messages, you know, when they hear the beep beep of a message, it takes them 20 minutes to re-engage after being distracted by the beep of a message coming in. They've told us that countries like Belgium or Spain or whatever, the education outcomes have improved beyond measure when phones were banned. And as a matter of fact, that's, you know, their international studies and international voices, principals in our own schools. And, you know, I know there was one of the principals there in De La Salle and Churchtown acknowledging that it has been a transformative, positive uplift for the atmosphere within the school, for the well-being. And I understand, you know, that people are saying it's an awful lot of money. But what we're saying is it's a once-off investment. We have 400,000 young people in post-primary. It's almost in and around just over €20 each, a little bit more than that. And that magnetic seal, if you like, will continue to be owned by the school, so they will have it on an ongoing basis. So there won't be the recurrent outlay as we are having presently. And it will ultimately ensure that right across the country, there is a clear understanding in all of our schools, there is no access to the phone. And I understand that parents want students perhaps to have the phones going to school in the morning, and they'll need them when they leave in the evening. So what they do is, when they go into school, there's this magnetic sealed pouch or whatever, and there's no access to it throughout the day. They can't access it until they go to the docking station in the evening, click it in, and it's opened on their way home. The purpose is to ensure teaching and learning takes place. And I've heard people say, you know, two things I've heard people say, really. They've said, you know, just confiscate the phone. I've worked in schools all my life. We've been confiscating phones all our lives. Staff don't have time to be confiscating the phone, taking it to the office or whatever. They're losing teaching and learning time. And equally so, I've heard people say, could you not have employed more people, done something else with that money. I want to say clearly it's a once-off payment, and we've already, for example, somebody said, could you not employ more SNAs? We're making provision in the budget for 1,600 additional SNAs. We have ensured that there is additional monies going into the school in terms of capitation, a 12% increase on top of a 9% increase last year, more than €300 million going into schools and capitation. I won't have this money next year. I won't require it. It's a once-off payment. The schools will own the pouches, and it will improve, as all the studies tell us, teaching and learning, and it certainly will improve well-being and mental health and socialisation, where children and young people will chat in school, they'll make friends in school, and they will not go into a corner during break time and spend their time on their phones.
Okay, I gave you a full run there, Minister, because
you certainly did.
There's a couple of things in relation to that. It takes some skill to make a €9 million payment, the main talking point out of an €11.8 billion investment in education. But more importantly, what I think a lot of people feel is that if parents are paying for an expensive smartphone and for the monthly charges in relation to running that smartphone, they can pay for the pouches that these phones will be put into. That this is not something that everybody else should be paying for out of taxpayers' money, that this is a responsibility on parents to pay for those pouches if they're paying for the phone and for the monthly bills.
And I hear that argument. And I would say to you, in an ideal world, if we could get everybody to pay up, if you like, for that and foster that atmosphere in the schools, we wouldn't be having that discussion. But our experience on the ground is that that's not what's happening. They're not, you know, this is not forthcoming. This is not happening. And so, for example, I'm aware of a principal who shared an instance where they were trying to introduce this in the school, and parent went to Vincent de Paul or went to another agency to procure that money. Because parents like their students to have a phone, and they see it as a safety measure. So they do fork out for that outlay, and they do provide for the credit in the phone or whatever. But they may not have the resource for the next €20. And I hear you saying, well, that's not acceptable. But what I'm saying to you is,
sorry, if you can spend hundreds of euro on a smartphone, you'll spend an extra €20 or more on a case to protect it, then surely they can pay the €20 for the pouch themselves.
But again, I'm saying to you that in our schools, the pouch or whatever, you know, the magnetically sealed implement or whatever, that will be owned by the school, will not be owned by the parent, will not be owned by the student. It will be owned by the school. It's a resource for the school, where the school is saying, our environment here is a phone-free environment. Our environment is one which cultivates teaching and learning, where it cultivates socialisation. We do not stand for, we will not allow interference during the school day. So we'll take responsibility, we'll show leadership here, and we will provide the mechanism that will foster that. And not only that, with this outlay, we will own that mechanism going forward year after year after year. And it's important that they will own it year after year after year, because I only have this payment of money once, just for this year. It will not be a recurring expense. It won't happen again and again. And, you know, all the time we talk today about the importance of ensuring we have, you know, a positive well-being attitude in society and in our schools. We are working really hard in our schools. We have policies, we have Kinaltis programs, we have inclusion programs. We are finding there is an issue with the mobile phone during the school day. I meet it all the time. This is a proactive, once-off measure that's been taken to show leadership, to protect the mental health and well-being and the education, I suppose, attainment and potential of students.
The leader of Sinn Féin, Mary Lou MacDonald, has described this as a scandalous waste. She has written to the Taoiseach, Simon Harris, asking him to reverse this decision. Are you saying that this decision will be stood by, given the reaction that there has been to it, not just from the opposition parties, but from all the teachers' unions and from various other people? Will you consider backing down on this €9 million payment to divert the money to other uses in the education system?
But again, and I think, you know, you've referenced the investment that has gone into education in this budget, just short of €12 billion. I have referenced to all of the things we've achieved, whether it's free school books for all of our students, whether it's free meals at primary school, whether it's additional staff into our schools.
And this is what people are talking about, is the mobile phone pouches is what's getting them exercised.
And doesn't it say a lot that that's the only hole that the opposition or others who...
Oh, no, it's not. No, sorry, it's not. Because, in fairness, I've got, for example, the National Principles Forum. It gives you an F grade for the education budget, saying that while you're concentrating on things like the pouches and the free school books and the free school lunches and free bus transport, all of the things that many people think should come as standard, the running costs in schools continue to mount, and schools at primary and secondary level do not feel that they have enough money to deal with the running costs in schools, and instead they see something that could be borne by parents, the mobile phone pouches, that money is there for that.
Well, I'm glad that you've specifically raised that one, because the funding that goes into schools in terms of, we'll say, capitation, this is what, you know, because I've met all the unions in advance of the budget, you know, I've met representations of people from all sectors of life in relation to budget and at other times in the year. And basically, in terms of capitation, that's the funding that goes directly in terms of each student you have in your school. There has been a 12% increase in that in the budget, in addition to a 9% increase last year. €300 million in capitation going into the schools. We've actually given a €45 million additional uplift to the schools this year in terms of cost of living. So it's a significant, like, we didn't just do this at the expense of everything else. We have increased funding directly into the schools for things like heating and light and everything else. Not sure what that national organisation is there. I'm not sure who they are and who they represent. But I want to be very clear, we have provided additional and significant funding, as I've said, a 12% increase on top of a 9% last year. This money is money as a once-off investment to foster and inculcate a mental health and well-being teaching and learning uplift in our schools. And you reference that there are teachers or principals or whatever. Well, I can also reference teachers and principals who would say that this is a worthwhile approach. For example, the principal of De La Salle Churchtown, very, very clear when he spoke about the transformative impact that it had for his school when all students were treated equally and this type of mechanism was introduced to the school, and indeed recognising that, you know, it was an opportunity to ensure that there was greater emphasis put on teaching and learning, greater opportunities, and I think the reference was made, greater opportunities for children and young people to engage with one another, to take part in extracurricular activities, to socialise in school. This is a mental health, well-being, teaching and learning initiative.
Okay.
It's costing a number of million for the first year, but the implementation of it going forward will not be in the same level, because the merchandise, if you like, will be owned by the school. It will be there to be used and reused. I'm really, really shocked that people can't see, particularly that the leader of the opposition can't see, that it's not appropriate to play politics with what really is a mental health and well-being initiative in our schools.
Thank you, Minister for Education, Norma Foley. But Andy O'Donoghue for Tech Thursday, this isn't what we had planned to talk about. But you know a little bit about these pouches. How effective do you think they are?
Matt, apparently the statistics, the analysis tells us that they are very effective. And UNESCO, the United Nations agency, has already highlighted in a survey and some research that even proximity to smartphones can lead to student distraction in the classroom, and that of course ultimately results in poorer academic performance. This is one of the things I looked at when these pouches became quite popular for use at concerts. There's a company called Yonder, and I suspect the government will be buying the Yonder pouches, and the minister went through the cost. Some education organizations in America, the parents pay for them, and in Akron, Ohio, for instance, kids show up to school every day with their homework, with their textbooks, and they bring their own pouch. However, in Akron, Ohio, the president of the Akron Education Association said that the results for them were a game changer, absolutely using these pouches, that fights in the school have decreased, which is something they did not expect, and that kids were engaging with their friends more. And of course, they then do not have the distraction of that beep, that message, or even that awareness. And then, of course, the loss of kind of concentration that follows that. So whilst people may not be happy with the cost, and perhaps parents should pay for them themselves, the analysis from around the world shows that these do work, and we're not the first to do it. Earlier this year, I think Holland became the latest EU country to ban phones in schools.
Andy, I'm laughing there when you say about the fights falling off. You and I both went to school in the North Mall in Cork in the pre-mobile phone era, and there were plenty of fights in the schoolyard which had nothing to do with mobile phones. I think the issue for many people, though, is actually not stopping children, if possible, from using mobile phones. I think everybody thinks that that's actually a good idea. In fact, there are some people who would argue strongly that access to social media and to the apps and to mobile phones for under-16s could and should be banned. It would be better for them. But I suppose the point is that this comes back to not loading everything onto the school. There's an issue of parental responsibility. And if parents are providing the money, are endorsing their children spending money on expensive smartphones and on the monthly packages to have use in them, then surely they can pay themselves for the pouches if they're a good idea for the schools, rather than diverting money from other things in education to the pouches. That's the issue.
I think that's a fair point, Matt, because phones are so expensive and so many kids have even iPhones, which are €1,000 phones. And so how they're paid for isn't something that I'm, you know, I don't have a, you know, because I'm not a parent, it's not something that I think, okay, well, how would I deal with that? Unless, of course, we made it part of the school equipment where the parents can get a tax break for it. It's a small amount of money, but some people simply can't afford it. Perhaps they can. The one thing about the research, though, is that, and parents have paid a lot of money for phones, and keeping a phone working, you know, paying that 10 or 20 euros a month is obviously expensive, particularly if you have a few children. However, studies do show us that multitasking during learning interferes with the long-term processing and retention of what you learn. That is a very well-documented scientific fact. And across other countries like Norway, for instance, a study there found that middle school smartphone bans were absolutely associated with higher grades, but for girls, not for boys. So this is a complex issue. However, kids can use their phones. They're incredibly useful. They stay in touch. They use them for learning. They lose them for communication. But when you're learning, focus on the learning.
Well, then you see, the learning thing is interesting. Sorry, Andy, we're now talking about something entirely different to what we had planned. So our special on kitchen appliances is going to have to wait until next week, I'm afraid. Because there's some people saying that there's a degree of hypocrisy here in that many schools are requiring the children to open up their smartphones and get onto certain apps or to get onto certain platforms to actually get information as part of the classes. And indeed, what is an iPad but a much bigger screened iPhone that an awful lot of the time they are told is compulsory to use?
And in many cases it is, and iPad learning and other digital learning has become increasingly important in the classroom. However, that is part of a different program. And don't forget, of course, iPads deployed in the classroom using a recognized method and kind of a pedagogical kind of principle that has been deployed for digital learning doesn't allow instant messaging. It doesn't allow filming of your friends in the playground. It doesn't allow the filming of fights, and it doesn't facilitate bullying. And this is, I suppose, part of the overall disturbing trend, and this story is part of the overall disturbing trend, that there is a general or broad concern that having constant access to something that is so distracting and absorbing as a mobile phone is changing childhood. We know that our attention spans, even as adults, has decreased since the introduction of the mobile phone. And psychologists have argued for years now that phones are replacing hanging out with friends, and that harms social development, and it contributes to loneliness in those who need it the most. And particularly post-COVID, we have seen the impact on mental health services of that sort of impact. So there's no argument from me that mobile phones are a good thing for humanity. I work in that industry and have done all my life. The thing that we have to address is that, yes, you can be distracted perhaps while you're playing football or watching the TV, but children should not, we should not facilitate their interruption of learning while they're in the classroom in an environment that we can control.
Well, one last one on that, Andy. So, I mean, are we being unfair to maybe to load all of the responsibility onto the schools and the teachers when maybe the children and the teenagers need the pouches at home when they spend their whole time on phones at home as much as they do at school?
Well, I think that's an interesting point. And there is, you and I recently spoke about parental controls and for mobile phones and laptops. And that's a technology that's available. It's a technology that some parents use. It tends to be with younger children. However, that's also a very important time. Children tend to get mobile phones or smartphones when they're kind of at 11 or 12, just kind of pre-teen. And they're very vulnerable to outside influences at that age. But the focus here really is on teens and on their learning process. And I do think, though, that restrictions on phones in their school do have their place. It's non-controversial to say that we don't want children to be distracted by phones, but teachers don't want them to be distracted by their phones. But when it comes to the larger issue of mental health and well-being, phone bans are part of a solution that can work. And so maybe the responsibility should be pushed back onto parents, because that's where all of this really starts, is in the home.
Andy O'Donoghue, thank you.